Good morning. I want to greet you in the name of Jesus this morning and welcome you into the presence of the Lord here at Dayton this morning. This kicks off a weekend. Well, I guess we're at the weekend or the beginning of the week. A Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Monday evening event of worship and focusing on our risen Savior. At the end of Monday night, we're going to sing about heaven and Jesus. And so we're going to start off this morning thinking about heaven and Jesus, because one thing that really stirs worship in me, and I believe that Revelation talks a lot about it, so I think it's in tune, but is heaven causes us to worship. The thinking of life after this one causes us to live with anticipation and worship a Savior. So I invite you to stand with us this morning as we fly away.
Splendor outshines the sun.
This next song is a prayer. Oh, great God of high. Amen. You may be seated. Psalm 66, come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land, and they passed through the waters on foot. Let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Amen. This morning, the offering is for Congregational Operating Fund. I invite the ushers and Josiah to come forward at this time. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for what you've done in the past. We thank you for what you are doing now, and we look forward to what you have for us in the future. Father, I pray that even as this offering takes care of the practical needs of the building, that that would even be a testimony to the world around us, that this is a place of hope. This is a place of refuge. This is a place to find Jesus. And when people walk through these doors, Lord, may they find a people that are unified and full of adoration and worship to the King of Kings. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Take out your Mennonite hymnal or your Zion's praises and turn to number 50. I sing the mighty power of God.
The soul, I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread of the wind seas abroad and filled the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The
once again, in your Mennonite hymnal, turn with me to number 13, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Number 13 in the Mennonite hymnal.
Glory, glory, Lord above, our Son for the
Moving into a few announcements. As was already said, there is a worship night here tonight at 7 o'clock and one tomorrow night at 7. Each one is a continuation. This morning's service doesn't end until Monday night. That's our goal, is to make it feel like that. So be present at all of them, if possible. Another thing I'd like to bring your attention to is Sean and Jeanette have agreed to walk out the road to ordination. And so there have been ballots put in your mailboxes last week. If you're a member, please fill those out. Take that seriously. If you have words of affirmation or correction or whatever during this time, now is a great time. We love hearing these things. We love to grow and to be better, or to see what is working as well. One other thing that I'll just very briefly highlight here in the bulletin, and I believe Chris is going to be talking about it next week, but the Freedom Nation event, please look at that. And if you are wanting to go, communicate with Chris even before he makes the announcement next Sunday, because it's really helpful to him to be able to know if people or who are coming to that event in Washington, D.C. I would like to come together in prayer, and Mike will bring the message after this prayer. God, I thank you for who you are. I pray, Lord, that this time this morning, the time tonight, the time on Monday night would not be about emotionalism, but may it be about worship. May our hearts sing what we believe. May our lips proclaim to those around us who you are and to ourselves. I know at times, Lord, when I'm low, it's music that puts a song back in my heart. And I pray, Lord, that this time together as a church would be one of refining, would be one of repentance, would be one of reflection, and it would be one of exaltation to the King of Kings. It doesn't matter how we feel, Lord. You are the I Am. And we proclaim that here this morning. We stand in the name of Jesus against any principalities of evil that would desire to distract, destroy, to come into conflict with what God has for us during this time. We just ask for your angels of protection to stand guard over each of us today and tomorrow. Father, I pray for the clashing among nations. We pray for peace. We pray that your greatness would be seen among the nations. Father, may we as Christians be about your kingdom. May we not get caught up in this kingdom of earth that we live in, but may we look to eternal one, one that is as it was created to be. Father, we ask you to be in the midst of struggles within the congregation. We pray for Brent. We pray for Rachel. We pray for Dave. We pray for the many others, Lord. I'm sure I'm forgetting a host full. The need of intervention on health, for health, for recovery. Father, there are many here this morning that need a deeper healing than that in their heart. Heal the wounds, Lord, that are here. I pray you would heal the marriages that are broken. Some we know about, Lord, but some that are hidden. Father, may your glory, may who you are be proclaimed by the marriages of this church and those who come here. I pray for Mike, Lord, as he brings a word for us. Lord, I pray that we would be attentive, that the call to repentance would not go on deaf ears, but that it would go to fertile soil. May each of us find areas in our life through your Spirit's leading that we need to lay down, repent of, and walk in freedom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning. We're going to be at numerous places this morning in Scripture. I'm going to actually start in Judges 6. If you want to turn there, you can. I want to prepare you a little bit for where we're headed. I want to look at some scripture about our identity and our mission. And then I want to have a time of confession. And what that's going to look like is we will have opportunity to turn around in our seats and kneel. And I will lead us in a time of confession where you can be aware of what you're confessing in your head. You don't have to come up front and proclaim it to everybody. And then there's going to be an opportunity during a song for you to come forward, to have a moment where you are making proclamation to all that are here and even to yourself, probably mostly to yourself, that I am ready to throw off anything that hinders my walk with the Lord. So your heart can start beating right now. Because that's what usually that happens at the end when I'm like, we're going to have an altar call, right? And your heart starts pounding. Now you can, the whole service. I woke up Friday morning. Well, I should say this first. I went to bed Thursday night and in a lot of pain. I couldn't sleep. And I have an infection and I could feel it kind of going down into my jaw, a tooth infection, and kind of towards my ear. And I was in intense pain. And I finally went to sleep Thursday night, and I woke up Friday morning, and I was so rigid. The first thing I thought was, I'm in pain, and then I thought, I need to relax. And I was laying on my side like this, and I relaxed, and my head actually like fell into the pillow. You all know what I'm talking about? Have you ever just relaxed and realized, like, why was I so tense? The first thought that came into my mind when I relaxed and my whole body just changed was, no wonder I've had neck pain. No wonder I've had headaches. No wonder everything in my life has felt horrible lately because I walk around like this. I'm in pain. And I thought, this is a perfect thing to lead with Sunday morning because a lot of us, this is our spiritual condition. We don't know where God is. He seems distant. He seems absent. We have allowed complacency. We're lukewarm. And I heard recently that if somebody lives their life without purpose, that can be a great cause of stress. You wake up with a mission on your mind, and you know why you were created. You rest more. Well, assuming you're willing to live according to that, right? But when there's sin in your life, or where there's a denial of the mission, a denial of the identity, what happens? You get spiritually tense all the time. And the whole point of rest in Scripture is not taking a nap. It's that sense of relaxing in Christ. Oh, he's got me. Like, I could share my faith. I can cast off sin. I can be public about my sin with a group of friends and say, pray for me. Not everything has to be a secret. Not everything in my life spiritually has to be tense. So I want to look at this today. Judges 6. You probably read this recently. I hope you did. As I went over it, I just was blown away at the story of Gideon. So the beginning of Judges 6, we're going to go from verse 1 to verse 16. It says, the Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Stop. Tense. You picking up that, like, what we're about to read is what I just explained. They were doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So what happens? It says, so the Lord handed them over to Midian 7 years, and they oppressed Israel. Because of Midian, the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and the Kedemites came and attacked them. They encamped against them and destroyed the produce of the land, even as far as Gaza. They left nothing for Israel to eat, as well as no sheep, ox, or donkey. For the Midianites came with their cattle and their tents like a great swarm of locusts. They and their camels were without number, and they entered the land to lay waste to it. So Israel became poverty-stricken because of Midian, and the Israelites cried out to the Lord. When the Israelites cried out to him because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to them. He said to them, "This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I brought you out of Egypt and out of the place of slavery. I rescued you from the power of Egypt and the power of all who oppressed you. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites, whose land you live in, but you did not obey me." The angel of the Lord came, and he sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belongs to Joash the Abiezrite. His son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, valiant warrior." Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? And where are all the wonders that our fathers told us about? They said, 'Hasn't the Lord brought us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and deliver Israel from the grasp of Midian. I am sending you." He said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Look, my family is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's family. But I will be with you," the Lord said. "You will strike Midian down as if it were one man." Does this resonate with you at all? You know that it had been like 200, 250 years since the last national miracle. So was the Lord still working in Israel? Was he moving in certain ways, giving certain men strength, giving another judge wisdom? It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon this man and he went and did this. And that, was the Lord still working? Sure. But he was working in a way we might see him even today. How many of us have some story, even from recently, "Man, that must have been a miracle because I don't see how that could have happened without the Lord's intervention." But as far as seeing a great work of the Lord, the parting of a sea, the tumbling down of walls, water flowing from a rock, the deliverance of people, something crazy, a miracle, it had been 200, 250 years. Isn't that crazy? Don't you guys think like, well, we don't live like in the Bible times. Like, we don't see miracles like that anymore. Don't you think that? Doesn't that come into your mind? That's exactly what Gideon was thinking. It's been hundreds of years. The Lord, I think we're good. The Lord has abandoned us, is what Gideon was saying. He's hiding in a wine press, getting a harvest. And he's hiding so the Midianites don't see the harvest coming in. The angel of the Lord appears to him and says, "I'm sending you. You are called." Can you kind of hear this? The Lord speaking this to you today? Do you know it in your heart, right? I'm called. I am called. What's your excuse? First of all, Gideon says, "Oh, the Lord who abandoned us? Where are all the miracles that our fathers told us about?" I have that attitude often. I just want to see the Lord work. Is he even the same God as he was back then? Man, God used Gideon in crazy ways, didn't he? Then he says, "Just go. I'm sending you. Go in the strength that you have." Now, what do you feel that too? Like, Lord, where are you? I haven't seen you move in the ways that you used to move. Are you the same God? And he says, just go in the strength that you have. What strength? What strength do I have? I'm the weakest and the fewest. That's Gideon's way of saying there's no one less qualified than me. Do you feel that? I know you do, because I feel it. You guys don't think I feel it. I'm not exempt from those feelings. I feel that all the time. And what's the angel's response? Oh, you feel weak? The Lord will be with you. Go. Now, obviously, we know the story. Gideon's like, all right, prove it. You know, here's, give me all these signs. But I thought this is a wonderful story to bring us to looking at who are we in the new covenant? What is our identity? What is our mission? You know, in the old covenant, Exodus 19:3, and this is long after Abraham, the covenant that God made with Abraham, speaking with Moses, says Moses went up on the mountain with God. The Lord called to him from the mountain. This is what you must say to the house of Jacob and explain to the Israelites. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you will carefully listen to me and keep my covenant, you will be my own possession. That is something different out of all the peoples. Although the whole earth is mine, and you will be my kingdom of priests and my holy nation. These are the words that you are to say to the Israelites. So the Israelites received a new identity and a new mission. They were called to be God's chosen people and to stand out among all the other nations, that the nations would look and fear their God. But what happens? What happens over and over and over with the Israelites? Sin, idolatry. If you keep my commands, you will. Sin keeps us off mission. Missing the mark keeps us off mission. You know, I think in your heart, the things that I'm saying that are keeping you off mission. Right now, when I say, what keeps you off the mission of your new identity in Christ, you're a new creation, you're called to love God and love others, and go. Be an ambassador for Christ. Let everything you do and everything you say be a reflection of him, so that when the world sees, when your community sees, when your coworkers see, they see that you're pointing to something else. How many of you right now are thinking, yeah, there is some stuff standing in my way? And maybe fear is the biggest thing standing in your way. I don't know. Let's talk about our mission, identity and purpose, okay? If I want to fix up my yard, spring's here, there's leaves all over, it's about time to mow again. First of all, there's a sense of identity. I want to be a man who takes care of my property, right? I'm that kind of a man. But then what's the mission? I might get out of bed on a Saturday and say, okay, the mission, I need to rake. I need to maybe blow leaves with the leaf blower. I need to mow. I need to fertilize. How crazy would it be if I would stay up super late so I can't get up early? It would be contrary to the mission, right? Or I get up and I've only had 4 hours of sleep and I go out and I'm, It hurts the mission, right? The mission is to get the yard work done. And then I go to the mower. I'm like, oh yeah, I took all the blades off at the end of the season. I don't have any blades on my mower. I'll just mow and see what happens. Oh yeah, I don't have any fertilizer. Here's some 2,4-D, you know, or here's some, general stuff. I'll just, we'll just see what happens. If you want to get the mission accomplished, you need to be a person on mission. We're told to lay aside everything that hinders and fix our eyes on Jesus so that we can be on mission. Do you even know what your mission is? Do you know what the mission is? Do you know your identity? Who you are? Are you a person that wants to accomplish the mission? 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, from now on, we do not know anyone from a worldly perspective. Isn't that crazy? Just think about that. You see someone, it might be a friend or it might be a lost person, might be an atheist, might be, it doesn't matter. You no longer see them from a worldly perspective. You know what that means? If you're in Christ, your perspective has completely changed. You're now looking through those God goggles, right? Through those redemption lenses. Honest with your friends, calling the lost to Christ. Even if we have known Christ from a worldly perspective, yet now we no longer know him this way. We don't even know Christ from a worldly perspective because it's personal now. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to him through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. To reconcile is to fix. Like there's been something broken in relationship between us and God. And to be a minister of reconciliation, Jesus came as a minister of reconciliation, as atonement for our sins. He died. He became the bridge to the Father so we can have relationship with God. That makes sense, I hope. You put your faith in Christ, something changes on the inside. You don't change your behavior hoping to earn relationship. You come to him based on his grace to you. You lay your life down. You search and seek after him. And scripture's clear that when you do that, you will find him. But then something changes. Your obedience now begins from a relationship perspective. So Jesus, being our great reconciler, made a way for relationship between us and the Father again. And now we're called to be ministers of reconciliation. We're called to be a people that take the person that is separated from the Father and be the person that stands in the gap. How do we do that? Eyes on Jesus. We minister by explaining our testimony of Jesus Christ, his Savior, the Savior of our sins, of which we have many. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. In this little passage, we have identity and mission. We are new. We are different. We are other than. And now we go help other people be new, be different, be other than. A minister of reconciliation. Matthew 22, Jesus said to them, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. Everything in the old covenant that Israel was commanded to do can be traced if it's in an outline form, like this one, and then out of that comes these laws, and then out of that comes these. They all get traced back to the top, which is love. A love for God and a love for others. So this is our mission. Identity, we're new. Children of the Father. Warriors of a king. We are new! And now, that means we have a new mission. So when the old mission, the worldly mission comes in, you fight against it. Fight against that flesh. We have a new mission because our identity is new. Matthew 28, Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Remember that, Gideon? If we would have stopped and not read that, remember, I'm with you always. You're just told to go make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go. Who am I? Remember, I'm with you. That's supposed to be empowering. That's an interesting thought. Do you feel empowered when you think of Christ in you? Does that change anything? Just something to think about. It's just popped into my head. If I think I'm scared to go do something, And then I think, but Christ is in me and he's promised to go with me. And I think, I'm still just as scared. Does that mean that fear is a greater power in my life than Jesus? Does that mean that I am now listening to, I have surrendered? There is a giving up of authority in Christ because I've surrendered to fear. And I'm going to listen to fear because it's louder and I believe it. But fear is a liar, right? Don't be under the control of fear. What? I can hear fear saying this. You don't want to go. Remember, I'm with you, right? You can hear fear saying that about all the things you shouldn't do to stay on mission. All the things that that are working against you. I'm with you, fear is saying. Which one are you listening to, the spirit of Christ or the spirit of fear? Paul, in 1 Corinthians and we see in Hebrews, talks about running a race. And I actually didn't look it up, but doesn't he say this in the beginning of Galatians? You were running so well, you foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? Like, all of a sudden you think that the law is necessary for salvation, the law is important, but it does not save you. Who? You were running well. You were running well. Running the race. We wanted to wear these shirts again today. Dead to sin, alive to Christ. And I want you to understand this message of running the race. When you get to heaven, do you want to get there? And you're, let's say you're at judgment. Do you want to be able to brag about how well rested you are? Or do you want to be able to brag? And brag is the wrong word. When all of your works are displayed publicly and known, do you want seen how well you rested, how much you relaxed, how many vacations you went on, how much you golfed, hunted, got nails done, whatever. There's nothing wrong with any of these things. But do you want that to be like, Father, I'm so rested? Or do you want to be so exhausted for the kingdom? Like, we're not called to rest physically so that the mission can be accomplished. We're called to rest in Christ. That means you could be physically exhausted, yet held. Does that make sense? I think we often get this conflated. I know I do. When stress comes in, I don't think run to Christ. I think run away from work. Yeah? Don't run to Christ. Run away from work. You need rest. And I don't want to get before the judgment throne. The Father looks at me like, man, you are well rested. Nice tan. You have got it. You understand rest. I want to get there exhausted. Not the things of the world being the major point of emphasis. I hope you don't think I'm coming down on vacations, because I am taking vacations. But we're told to run. We don't see much language about avoiding suffering. I don't think we see any. Quite the opposite. We're told that we're going to suffer and we're told to run. Paul says, don't you realize, runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize. Run in such a way to win that prize. Everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we, an imperishable crown. Okay, we're running for an imperishable crown. That is this glory that comes when we are at rest with the Father, and it never perishes. Everything we fight for and work hard for today is gonna be given to someone else, or rot, or burn. But what we fight for is something imperishable, eternal life, glory, honor with the Father. So he says, I do not run like one who runs aimlessly. Imagine a race starts and you're pointed the wrong direction. How silly. Imagine a race starts and you've had no training. Everyone else has been training, disciplining their body. You don't care. Why? Why would somebody, they don't care about the prize, right? I assume. Or imagine you've trained like crazy. You're in the best shape of your life. You've disciplined your body. But then when the race starts, you just jog. You're like, don't value the prize. He says, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. He also says, I do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one just beating the air. In Hebrews 12, he says, therefore, this is, by the way, right after Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, talking about all these heroes of the faith. And then he talks about the time coming where Christ comes, and God is waiting to bring to perfection everyone all at once. It's actually some interesting language at the end of Hebrews 11. And then he flows into 12 saying, therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, now listen, there's three things I want to point out here. Let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily entangles. Okay? We're getting ready to go into a time of confession, and this is what I want you to be thinking right now. Every hindrance and the sin that so easily entangles. Does this mean that there's sin in your life, but the thing that you're thinking about, you're like, well, this isn't sin. I could keep that in my life. Is it a hindrance? Oh, man, your heart just started pounding even faster. Lay aside every hindrance to being on mission and the sin that so easily entangles. This is not good news for our hobbies, is it? For the stuff we love that keeps us off mission, because our heart belongs to another mission so often, doesn't it? Lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. Yes, you run with endurance. With a new identity and a new mission, go. Run with endurance the race that lies before us. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares. Run with endurance the race that he has called you to, fixing your eyes on Jesus. Dead to sin, alive to Christ. This is the beginning of a time of worship. And worship should include the surrendering of our hearts, the confession of every hindrance, and the sin that so easily entangles. So we're going to have a time of confession. And then we're going to have a couple songs to end the service. And then we're going to come back this evening to fix our eyes on Jesus. And then Monday, we're going to come back. We're going to hear the word spoken. We're going to have communion. And we are going to fix our eyes on Jesus. Here's what this is going to look like. We're going to pray. And I know when you kneel too long, man, those knees start to ache. So we don't want to kneel too long, right? I don't care a whole lot. I'm just kidding. We're going to kneel in a little bit, and there's two things specifically that I want you to do. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to bring to your mind the things that are hindering your walk or the sin that's in your life that so easily entangles. Maybe you're entangled or maybe you're flirting with the edges, but it entangles. And as the Lord brings it to your mind, you call it out. Don't have to call it out verbally. Call it out in your head. Father, I confess. To confess is to declare. To make known. I can confess Jesus is King. That's not a sin, right? It's a confession though. So when we confess in our minds, what we're doing is acknowledging this is wrong. Father, thank you for revealing this to me. It's wrong. And then what we're going to do is cancel. And I'm going to lead you in this, but we're going to nail it to the cross. Now, here's the deal. Jesus has already paid the price and the punishment of the sin you're getting ready to acknowledge to him. He has bore the weight of it already. So why are you bearing the weight of it? Does that make sense? Why would you bear the weight of sin that he already carried? So when we cancel it, all we're doing is saying, I am nailing this to the cross. That means I am giving it to Jesus. So I bear it no more. Okay? It's for you. It's for you. Would you turn and kneel with me, and we're going to have a time of prayer. Father, we come into your presence right now, and we just acknowledge that there are hindrances in our walk. What you want is your gospel proclaimed. You want Jesus to be made high and us to be made low. We have nothing to brag about except for Christ and him crucified. And so every hindrance and the sin that so easily entangles. Holy Spirit, we're asking for your presence here right now with power, and we're asking in the name of Jesus, in every heart, in every mind, I ask that you would reveal right now the hindrance and the sin that so easily entangles, that which stands against your mission in our lives. Whatever it may be, Father, I ask that you would reveal it to hearts right now. Reveal it, Father. And just help these saints to acknowledge it in their hearts. Father, I confess this. Whatever the sin might be, whatever the hindrance might be. So, Father, right now, I pray that the saints would agree with me as we nail these sins to the cross. As we give you these hindrances, everything that you have bore the weight of that we have been carrying, maybe even from childhood, trauma, sins done against us, sins we have committed, things we haven't done but should have done. We nail these to the cross of Jesus Christ and we bear the weight of them no more. We give them to you. So, Father, right now, we also acknowledge that our sin makes way for the oppression of the enemy. Just like the Midianites granted 7 years to destroy Israel, through our sin we give the enemy reign on our bodies and our hearts. And so right now with these sins nailed to the cross, we just command all enemies to go. In the name of Jesus, you go to the cross and see where that sin is and receive a just sentence. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to work in the place of any burden that was being borne unnecessarily. We invite you into that space. Would you come and would you work in hearts afresh and anew? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can return to your seats. We're going to sing a song. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward now. And I'm going to invite you all to stand. We're going to sing the first song, Refiner's Fire. And just like I told you, maybe you need a line in the sand moment. That day, that Sunday morning, that was the morning I went forward. I don't care who saw. Because I was laying aside every hindrance. I was getting rid of the sin. If you need to come forward today as a declaration and also to be prayed for, I just want to invite you during this song to make your way forward. And you're not going to have a ton of time. So be determined. All right?
Purify my
Goodness and faithfulness. Let today be a day of change. Pray that hearts have come forward, whether bodies did or not, Father. We give you all the glory and we give you all the praise as our worship continues into this evening and continues into tomorrow evening. We ask for a supernatural moving of your Spirit in our presence. Days that we will never forget. We give you praise for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Stay standing.
Yeah. Sure. We're going to close with this song that's on our shirts. Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing. You are still invited to come forward. My theme in my life lately has been, the secret is what has power. As soon as you confess, as soon as you give up your secrets, there's no power behind that secret and that pain and that shame any longer. I remember when I was a kid, I was a singer. I sang songs all the time. I would wake up every morning with a song on my mind, in my heart. It would be on my mind the whole day. As I got older, sin began to creep into my life, walk away from the Lord. And my song became quiet. And I remember one time my mom saying, "Micah, what has stolen your song? What has stolen your song?" And I ask you that this morning. Is there something in your life that is stealing your song? Is there something that stands in the way of what God would have for you today, tonight, and tomorrow? Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing. Lord, I am fondly, earnestly. Hold on a sec. We're going to start off a cappella. Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into thy holy likeness to grow, thirsting for more and deeper communion, yearning thy love more fully to know. Amen. We'll see you tonight.